now that we've done it without the monitor. This is W2TTT. Good evening, everyone. This is the Barotechna. Barotechna is run every Thursday night at 9 p.m. on a frequency of 146.955, the repeater of the Chestnut Ridge Radio Club, located in Alpine, New Jersey. The PL for the repeater is 141.3, and all radio amateurs are welcome to participate on the net, as long as you're licensed to operate in the 2-meter band. You certainly do not need to be a member of Barra. As we said, all radio amateurs are welcome to participate. And to make things even more exciting, we hope that you will participate, whether or not you have a question. So you might ask, why would you participate in a TechNet if you didn't have a question? Because by checking in, we know you're there, and then we can direct stuff to you should we find it topically appropriate. And we do that fairly frequently. So don't be shy. We'll drag you out of your isolation. But you do need to let us know you're there. So we're going to talk about anything related to amateur radio, electronics, telecommunications, computers, things in our society that involve those things, emergency operations, or if you will, MCOM, emergency communications, space weather, regular weather, any other factors that drive radio propagation, either short or long distance, all that good stuff. So the check-in is that we do it a little differently than other nets. We start with check-ins by call sign group. And tonight we'll start with the letter A. But we do it in a particular way. We check in with our call sign, our name, and then we indicate whether we have a question, a comment, both, or none of the above. And as I said, even if you're none of the above kind of guy or gal, check in. We need to know you're there. It's very instructive for everyone concerned to have you there. And you will be an asset, I can assure you, to the net. If not tonight, in a future time. So stations whose call sign begin with the letter A, please check in with your call sign, your name, and indicate whether you have a question, comment, both, or none of the above. Please call K2BAR. Okie dokie, that was easy. Stations whose call signs begin with the letter November, please call K2BAR.
Okay, NS2K, no question at this point.
You sound like you're in a grand mood, just like me. Good for you. Hi, Jim. NS2K, K2BAR. Any other Novembers? Okay. Oh, I should also make a point that we're going to take check-ins on Echolink as well. Let's do that real quick. Any stations on Echolink, please call K2BAR.
K2BAR, KD2AKP. How are you, Gordon? No question or comment right now. Thank you. KD2AKP, Nestor.
Hi, Nestor. That's great. I'm glad you're here. That's most excellent. And we welcome you. What's nice about using Echolink, gentlemen and ladies, is that you can post your question underneath the net, if you will, or make a comment that you want to make a comment. And that works out very, very well for all concerned. It's kind of like the ultimate break-in, especially if we don't leave adequate gaps for Echolink, which sometimes can happen when we get into a colloquy among two or more participants on a topic that gets them all excited, sometimes lose track of the Echolink participation. So that's a useful thing. I'll be checking on the Echolink in a few minutes, as soon as my computer comes up. Any other stations on Echolink, please call K2BAR. Alrighty. Well, we can then move on. Any stations whose call signs begin with Kilo 2?
This is K9GTM. Little questions or comments?
Here, do I have fun?
Okay. K9GTM, it's sort of like K2. All right. Who is the other station? I got you, Sean. No problem. Real quick, Sean, did you win your game?
Yeah, we won 8-6. I had two goals.
Awesome. Very good. Sean plays roller hockey in his spare time. Was the other station K2ZO?
Okay, K2BAR. This is K2ZO. Yeah, I was asking if I had hum because I had the radio plugged in a charger. But I took it out. It's charged. I have a comment about an antenna I'm thinking about putting together for 6 meters, and I did send you some information on it, and looks like it could be a fun little antenna for a quickie throw-up. Back to net, K2ZO.
I did. I'm not using my computer right now, but I did look at the URL, and yes, so we might need you to just repeat that for others right now, because I'm kind of computer challenge. Jeremy was using my computer for something at net time, which is part of the reason why I'm a little late getting started here. I've been good lately, but I've been home. In any case, no problem. But yeah, I definitely have you down for a really neat antenna that you want to talk about. All right. Any other Kilo 2s? Okay, any other kilos? Okay, if there's a station trying to access the net, you need to have a tone of 141.3, 141.3, the same tone as you use on 79 in Paramus or 1070 in Oakland.
K2BAR. K2ZFM, this is Bob. Just want to comment. I'm coming back to the radio if you want to do a break. Hope everyone has a good evening.
Excellent, KC2ZFM. We got you. Welcome aboard again. Alrighty, I got you. You got to work on your signal a little bit, and definitely close talk that microphone. Any other kilos? Okie dokie. How about whiskeys?
W2JEK, Don, with a comment.
Excellent, Donald. Good evening to you. Get your comment as well. Any other whiskeys?
W1AU, Bill.
Okie dokie. Mr. Bill, no questions, no comments?
Sorry about the protocol. None of the above.
I'm not going to turn this into a teachable moment like other people do on other nets. Very good, Bill. Anybody else?
Comment.
Oh, okay. The mobile station first.
KD6, KID, John, none of the above.
Hi, John. Had the pleasure of speaking with your son tonight. Very good. Sounds like a smart young man. And I know he's got some comments. Anybody else who's mobile? Any fixed stations? 86KID, is your son checking in tonight?
KD2AMR, questions and comments.
All right. I knew you were there, Eric. No problem. I sent you back an email. We're going to hold your question for last. It's going to be a while, but it's going to be a good while. So you'll learn some other things in front, but we got your subject is very, very interesting as well. So I'm going to go through these pretty much in order tonight, but wow. I think you'll find some insights that are excellent. And welcome to Ham Radio again. I just want to emphasize that for those who didn't pick up on it, you are a new amateur. Congratulations. Any other stations checking into the net? Any Echolink stations checking into the net? Alrighty, then let's get on to the three comments we have. We'll do them in order tonight. K2ZO, your comments, or K2BAR?
Okay, K2BAR. This is K2ZO. Okay, you know, we've been fooling around with the ZEP antennas, the extended double ZEPs. They work so well on 40 and 80 on the low frequencies. We've used them on field day, and they really do have a pretty good pattern, a very tight kind of figure eight, elongated figure eight in two directions. And I just recently found a diagram for a coax-fed 6-meter extended double ZEP. And this would be a nice little antenna to build and throw up. And I think I'm going to build it. And you know, you can just throw it up in a tree, like 15 feet long. And has some pretty good gain. Of course, it's not directional, but I was thinking we could talk about putting a reflector on it because that works. So that's it. And I can tell you where to, if you want. Go ahead.
Yeah, let's do that first, and then I'd like you just to remind everybody how a ZEP is generally configured and how it's fed, and once you do that, we can go on. So, URL first, Jim.
Okay, the URL for this is www.hamuniverse, one word, hamuniverse.com, / 6 meter, 6M ZEP, ZEPP dot HTML. So after the slash, after the com is the slash, which is right hand slash, 6 meter, 6M ZEP, ZEPP dot HTML. And you'll come up there with this description of this antenna.
Excellent. And I will go do that right now. But I think it's important that people take a look at this on a couple of levels because, A, it'll help them figure out what a ZEP looks like, and, B, what a 6-meter ZEP looks like.
Well, a ZEP antenna, of course, is longer than a dipole. It's an N-fed, and it's your N-fed half wavelength. An extended double ZEP adds another quarter wavelength in there, help to make it match. An extended ZEP, I should say. And then there's such a thing as an extended double ZEP, which has two ZEPs back to back, and then a matching section of open wire line. And that's what this is. To give you an idea of the relative size, the one we had on 80 meters was 300 feet long. The one we had on 40 meters, about 150 feet long. This one here is roughly about 14 feet long. And he discussed making it and making the short 31-inch matching section. Pretty simple. Let it drop. Okay. We got into this idea of the double ZEPs when we were talking about them back, a year ago. Don, W2JEK, brought up a very interesting article that was back in the 30s. And what it talked about was a similar antenna to this, in which the author had put at 0.2 wavelength behind the element a half wavelength element. So this would require two half wave elements right at the end of parallel to the end of the antenna and about 0.2 wavelengths behind it, which would give it about 4.5 dB gain in the front direction. So this thing would be almost like a beam. So it's going to be very interesting. I want to build it and test it, and then I want to build it and somehow manage to, I guess I'll have to make some kind of a dual arrangement with spacers and put a reflector on it. But boy, it'd sure be a great little antenna for mountain topping. Back to net, K20.
Oh, let me ask a couple of questions here, if I may. Okay, so we have two 15-foot, roughly 141.73 inches or 360 centimeter wires fed with a piece of ladder line. And you're saying that each one of those is going to have behind it a half-wave element, which will act as a reflector. Here's the concern I have, and that is, why are we not making that element 5% longer than the element for which it's actually like a reflector?
Part of that is if you look at that whole total length, if you take a look at the handbook, there's a discussion on the extended double ZEP, and it talks about that first third of that wire coming off the thing as part of a matching system or something. But anyway, in the article that Don brought up, the guy would, in an antenna like this, you would use two pieces of half wavelength reflector, and you'd just do them per the 468 divided by the frequency in megahertz, or to bring it up by 5%, and put it behind each section, not in the center, but from the end going in, so that it would be missing in like the center section of it. And that's the way the article was written from back in the 30s, where the guy had designed this. And it turns out it puts out a lot of signal in one direction. So very interesting, and I've never seen too many people even do anything like this before, but it'd be very interesting to try.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm going to tell you straight out that the gain from what you just described, an extended double zap with two half-wave reflectors off the ends of, you know, basically, you said 0.2, you could even make a 0.25, depends on what you were looking to do and the way of the pattern, but the bottom line is behind that, so that as a reflector, that's going to rival the gain of a three-element beam. No doubt about it. So, let's consider this. Let's say you had some favorite directions where you wanted to have some, you know, broad but reasonable gain in that direction. Putting up these antennas like this would provide that very nicely. Absolutely very nicely. 80 centimeters is not very long. It's only just under a yard. So that's really nice. You know, a 2-inch, it talks about the 2-inch Allen, basically, of RG58. Well, okay, so you take an inch and a half PVC, which is 2-inch OD, or 1.9 inches OD, and wrap your coax around it for 5 turns, seal that up, and you're good to go. In fact, the transition point could be a 6-inch piece of inch and a half PVC tubing you could lop off and feed the cable from there. How outstanding would that be? I mean, this would be great. In fact, you could conceivably make the vertical part, including the turns for the coax, end in a connector, and bury the ladder line either on or in the PVC and use that to hold rigid elements, and you can make the whole thing a rigid, either extended double zep or extended double zep with half-wave reflectors behind it. That's my comment, Jim. Let's talk about sticking the ladder line inside PVC. How bad would that be? What would the detuning be?
I don't know, since it's only a matching section. Interesting thing is, I came across an article that described, and we'll get back to the G5RV, as you know, G5RV has a matching section using either 300 ohm or 450 ohm, and the length is different depending on what you use. Now, he has, in this design, a 31-inch piece of open wire line that's spaced 8 centimeters, 3.15 inches, which is kind of a little wider than our standard old run-of-the-mill 450 ohm line. I'm just wondering if you might be able to redesign this thing and use a 450 ohm line. You'd have to have a different length, but this thing has got to be a transition of 58 degrees, I think. So it'd be interesting to see how that would work out. That would be another interesting thing, because if you could do it with standard old 450 line, then you could put it inside a piece of PVC. But if you made it the way it's described here with 3 inches, then it wouldn't. So very, very interesting little idea. And I think you're right on the gain there. I think it would really go. They do give a lot of the technical jargon on here as far as the calculations go, but you get a good idea if you look in the handbook on the extended double zep to get an idea of what's going on and how it's matched. But this is the first time I'd ever seen one discussed for 6 meters, so it should be a fun antenna. I think we'll build it. Back to net, K2ZO.
Yes. Build it as an extended double zep and screw around with the width of the 450 line and the length of it. I would just make that one substitution until we found that would work. Let's see. If you're further apart, you have lower impedance. So therefore, you're tighter, you'd be higher. So that's, I think, where this is going. I had that backwards. Straighten me out here, Jim. So 450 ohm line is wider than 300 ohm line. So if he's looking at probably something closer to 600 ohms or so. So electrical impedance, I'm thinking I guess it would have to be a little longer.
Probably, but you know, as you space it further apart, the impedance goes up. There's a formula for it. You know, it's the square root 276 times the difference in the diameter versus the distance. There is a formula for figuring that out. Of course, you know the trans. What you need as far as you need a 58 degrees of wavelength on that piece. So perhaps a little fooling around with the antenna analyzer would get you there. You might have to cut up a little bit of coax open wire line. And I wouldn't even make the coil of RG58. I'd just slide some ferrite beads over my coax. That seems to work quite well. And that would probably, you know, suffice to keep this thing cool. Of course, as he says in there also, the other option is to feed it with open wire and go all the way down into your antenna tuner, and it would be a good antenna to work on 10 meters as well. It wouldn't be an extended double zep, but be interesting. Anyway, it's a very simple design, and I've never really seen the extended double zep discussed of in terms of 6 meters, so it should be fun. I'm thinking that would be a nice antenna to go up on a mountaintop, and you could throw it up in a tree and have a ball with the thing and get some gain. That's the important thing. Back to net, K2ZO.
Yeah, I would agree. Just throwing it up as a simple extended doubles up would be just excellent. As far as feeding it goes, if you're not fussy about the transition, you could go longer and just bring it down to the ground or damn near the ground and then just use a balun. Use a 4-to-1 or 6. I would probably use a 6-to-1 balun just to make your radio happy and just load her up from there with the tuner. Did they talk about, I'm looking at this thing quickly, but did they talk about the characteristic of PD? He really says it's a perfect match. Oh, I see. Make it eighth of a wavelength plus 10 or 15% and then cut to get a perfect match. So that's what he's doing with the ladder line. So if you want to use ladder line, just go ahead and make it some ridiculously longer length, more than 10 or 15%, let's say maybe 25, 30%, and just start whacking it away a half inch in time until you get it right.
Well, we might be able to do a little bit of math and get close to it. You know, this design came from Norway, and maybe they don't have the 450-ohm ladder line over there like we do, so to them it made perfect sense, spacing the line 8 centimeters. But I think it would only take a small amount of time with the an antenna analyzer until you figured out where you need to go with that matching section. But be interesting. And, of course, you could always make that matching section longer, because each time you added a full a half wavelength, you would repeat the impedance there, so you could keep going on down there. So you really could tune this thing by changing the feed line and keep it all open wire line. That's another interesting thing. It's theoretically, with a 1-to-1 balun at the radio, you should be able to, if you pick a fixed amount of feed line, 450 ohms, you should be able to get a point where it'll match. How about that?
Oh, absolutely. One question about using the antenna analyzer to match out the eighth wavelength stub or matching section. Would you use the analyzer attached to the antenna elements themselves and then just adjust a feed point directly? How do you attach a conventional unbalanced feed line unbalanced antenna analyzer to this through a 1-to-1 balun, basically, and use that as the way to deal with the fact that you've got open wire on one side, you've got a coax on the other, or would you just terminate the coax connector and be done with it?
Well, in this case, it's you know, it's a 50 ohm impedance down here at that bottom. So yeah, 1-to-1 balun. But for use with my antenna analyzer, I have a couple of small handmade balans. They're tiny because they don't have to be big. And I have a 4-to-1, and I have a 1-to-1, and I use them. I made them up with a couple of clip leads, a couple of alligator clips on them, and then a PL259 on the other side. So I just screw it onto the analyzer, and then get on there. And yeah, it adds some reactants and does make some changes, but it's not that bad. But you're able to do a lot of interesting things with the thing. So it's a nice little project for a warm summer day.
Yeah, KD2AKP,
timeout. KD2AKP, disconnected.
Little tiny Teflon things, right?
A little bit of a double there.
I'm sorry, you said a nice project for a warm summer day, and that's what I thought you handed over.
I did. A station checked out, and I was doubling with you.
Station go.
We got it.
Alrighty, well, fair enough. Anybody have any questions for Jim on this? That's great. Okay, and it's scalable to other bands as well. Just keep that in mind. So in case you don't have room for, let's say, a 10-meter Yagi or a 20-meter Yagi, extended double Zep on 20 meters might be very cool. Might have room for a single pair of halfway reflectors, you know, quarter wavelength or less behind it. That would be great as well. So, you know, there are ways to get some gain on these bands without having sophisticated rotators and expensive rotators. You can do it all with wire and point to your favorite part of the world. Alrighty. Well, thank you, Jim. What I did say, though, is I was hoping that at some point we can get some insights to your little mini balance. That sounds pretty cool as well. If anyone wants, by the way, you can email me and I'll send them the URL, but it's www.hamuniverse, one word, hamuniverse.com/6, M for 6 meters, 6, Mike, Zulu, Echo, Papa, 6mzep.html. Alrighty. Any more on this, Jim?
No, I think you'll have to wait till we build one. but I think we probably get started doing something like this by kit night.
I'll build it. Take the camp with me in 2 weeks. I already decided that. That's awesome. Alrighty, comment from KC2ZFM. Welcome back.
JF on frequency.
I'm sorry, your call again, please.
WA2, Papa Juliet, Foxtrot, Vito, Bayshore.
Hey, Vito, welcome aboard again. Did you have a question or comment that you want to cue into the net?
A strange thing, if I may. If you recall last week, I was speaking about my KWM2 with the audio problem fluctuating, et cetera, et cetera. Well, the problem went away as of the next day after we spoke, and works beautifully now. But that happened once before, about a year ago. I had gotten about 6 months out of it, then it got stupid again. But now it's back to being normal again. So I don't know what the problem is. I'm not going to touch anything, but it's working great. Just an FYI, if I may say so. Go ahead.
That's fine, Vito. Very good. All right, we're going to go on to the next cute comment here. KC2ZFM. KTBAR.
J4WD.
You're here too. Are you going to queue up a message or a comment or a question, Rachel?
I'll wait out. Not at this time.
Thank you. Very fine. Okay. ZFM, go.
KC2BIR, this is KC2ZFM. Basically, just that I had an emergency in the family, and I've just been off the air for a while. I'm just glad to be back, though.
Oh, welcome back. Super. Hope everything worked out okay. And do welcome. Be welcome back. That's excellent. All right. Next comment from JEK. Mr. Don?
Yeah. K2BAR and the net W2JEK. Yeah, well, last night I was on the Bowers 2-meter net on the 7-9 machine, and we're trying to use the Franklin Lakes machine, and I was having a rough time copying some of the stations. I don't think Jim K2ZO was hearing anything. And one thing I noticed that the signal strength was way down. And later on in the testing, I found that Franklin, the 1070 machine out in Oakland, was giving me a full scale reading. I said to myself, that Franklin Lakes machine in 7-9 should be doing the same thing. I'm going to check it again tonight, and Rachel was talking to me about it too. And we suppose that there might have been a power failure at the time, at which time the amplifier is not used on that repeater, and so it was just going barefoot, so to speak, to conserve the battery, because it was probably on battery power. That's what the mystery of the last night's events were. With that, back to net, W2JK.
Yeah, just be advised, you're absolutely right. The Franklin Lakes repeater goes into QRP mode when there is no AC power. in order to extend battery life. So, yep. That's correct. Anybody have comments on that?
K2BAR, KC2RX.
Robert, go ahead.
Hey, Gordon, I'm just checking in, and I sent you that email about around 5:30, quarter to 6.
I got it. Thank you, Robert. Did you have anything for the net?
I'm just going to listen to you guys rag chew. I'm headed home from a Civil Air Patrol meeting. I'm just going to listen to you guys rag chew.
No problemo. Alrighty. Mr. Don, anything else you want to add to your topic?
No, not at this time. It's up and running, I guess. They got the power back. Back to that. W2JK. Thank you.
Well, thank you for raising that little bit of information for people. That's exactly what goes on. Alrighty. It's amazing how many of our repeaters in our area do not have any form of backup. I know that, you know, Franklin Lakes had battery for a while. Chestnut Ridge this repeater now has a generator that will go for days. I think it's exercised, I think, weekly now. And so does the Matching 440 machine here. But I can remember a year ago last winter, we had a situation where 1070, 79, 955, Metroplex, and 49 were all down. I don't know the status of 835 in all honesty because I just don't remember at the time. But it was ridiculous. They were all down. Oh, I can tell you one thing. 835 lost its link antenna into the system it was connected to. So, yeah, I think it stayed up. That's the good news. The bad news is it was no longer part of the W2UHF system. So it was ridiculous. It was really crazy. So, yeah, things have gotten a lot better since then and are continuing to get better. So that's a good thing. Alrighty, before we go to Eric's question, any other check-ins? Okay, so let me do a little introduction here. KD2AMR is Eric. He's a newly licensed radio amateur. His father is KD6KID. Nice call there, John. And, what do you call it? He's a senior at Stevens Institute of Technology this fall, and he's got a project, which I'll let him describe, but it involves amateur radio and some other goodies, so he and I have had an email exchange on it, and hopefully he's read my response to his questions, and now we'll have now that we've set the table a bit, we can see what gives. So, Eric, why don't you introduce yourself and say a few words. Keep in mind, timer is a little over 2 minutes, so every so often get a beep. KD2AMR, K2BAR.
K2BAR, this is KD2AMR. Yeah, so basically what my group is going to try to do for Senior Design is a software-defined radio amateur repeater. I have a URL for you guys if you want to check it out. It's www.mjsch.org/b6/pages/shtml. We basically want to, like as a dual repeater, you can software-defined radio techniques. And I guess my questions are basically implementation issues regarding the wide bands we need to cover in order to have a practical repeater. And I guess we also want to take a look at duplexing issues, software-defined radio architectures, and I guess options that we have for CL tone. Back to that.
Alrighty, well, you got a couple of things. So there are really, let's see, three components or three sets of components that have to be managed, that have to be dealt with. it's fairly easy, frankly, to address two of them in software. And that's what I tried to, you know, suggest to you. So if you put up a 400 meg repeater, you can space out your frequencies more than 5 megs. You can do a high pass for one and a low pass for the other. And you don't have to worry about notching at that point because you have enough frequency diversity between the receiver input and output to allow you to not have to worry about notching the transmitter in the receiver passband. That will also allow you to be frequency agile above and below those cutoff frequencies for the two broadband bandpass filters, the high and low pass respectively. So that means you can make it frequency agile. So if a particular frequency is in use, you can say, well, we'll just, you know, adaptively use pair B and or pair C or pair D, etc., and move around spectrally. Again, that could be under software control. And in addition to the frequencies you use, you could conceivably also control your IF bandwidth to decide whether or not you're going to pass a single voice channel, either analog or digital, or several analog or digital voice channels, or let's say, just to put it, make it even more complex, a analog voice channel, a digital voice channel, and one or more data channels, which you can either have as narrow band or in aggregate wider bandwidth data channels for, shall we say, simultaneous digital transmission elsewhere in the passband. What you've done is you've made yourself essentially a linear translator. And through the joys of the software-defined radio, you could demodulate a PL and then output a corresponding signal in the transmit passband with or without the PL regenerated. You could do the same thing for digital, where you, if you see a signal on with a certain signature, you would just retransmit it as a bit stream. And you can do the same thing with one or more data carriers that are not carrying voice to build yourself a fatter or narrower pipe. And you can even adaptively use different pieces to move more bits should there you not have any interference from other repeaters or other frequencies within your what I'll call your digital data passband. So with that in mind, you've got the ability to now be frequency agile. You've got the ability to be mode agile, and with it, bandwidth agile. So you could do any number of those things, but there's also a software repeater Yahoo group, I think it is. I'm going to send you that link as well, because a lot of that stuff has been worked out with radio over IP and other things, which you might want to consider. A lot of that is built around the Asterisk system. Just curious, Eric, are you familiar with Asterisk?
I have not heard of it before.
Okay, well, that's a system that allows you to do things like voice over IP or radio over IP and other things like that. And have interoperability between the radio world and the telephony world and the remote base world and things like that. So I'll hook you up with a link to there. So that's another thing. But there are several already defined projects to provide a software repeater. So conceivably, after you've demodulated the thing and then remodulated it back up, or ready to remodulate it back up, you could have this as a back-end module to actually provide the repeater control functions between the receiver and the transmitter chains. And this would allow you to basically take that stuff, as it will, as it were, off the shelf and plug that in. It's not quite that easy, but if you have the demodulated stream, you could plug that into the receiver module, the receiver software module, for the input to the repeater, and then similarly you can take the software repeater output module and then drive that into your SDR to modulate going the other way. So that's pretty much a summary of my response to you at this point. So I'm sure you have 1,000 questions. Before you have 1,000 questions, does anybody else want to add anything to this? KD2AMR, K2BAR.
For your help with this, I guess one of the things we wanted to look at was having a repeater system that could receive multiple bands. I think that was a question we asked, and it might be a little ambitious, so we might turn that down, but do you think that's feasible?
Well, consider this. If you do that, you could get rid of your duplexing problem immediately. That would be fine. It would have less functionality or less utility in some respects, but it would have different utility. But sure, you could do that. You could conceivably have multiple, bands, but every time you add a band, unless you're going to make it just a receive or just a transmit band, you have to then add more hardware. So I think the useful thing to think about is to create, a receiver chain, a transmitter chain, and decide on what frequency band you want to do that. If you want to replicate that, you put a second receiver chain or a second transmitter chain into the system. You certainly could control it fairly easily, and the asterisk-based repeater core could actually control that portion of the game for you. What I was advocating in my email was that you would be able to have discrete bandwidth segments in a passband. Let's say you have a 200 kilohertz passband, where you could have a analog voice repeater. You could have, and you would pump that demodulated stream into, let's say, an FM repeater module, software module. Whereas your data or your D-Star, which is a combination of voice and data in one digital stream, could be fed into other modules. So, and I mean the module from a software perspective.
Yeah, so we'll take a look at that. The asterisk system sounds really interesting. For the PL tone, I think it's pretty straightforward to just do a FST on the input, like a block FST on the signal, and just check the frequency band. I think it's a little more complicated, but that should be pretty simple to do. KCDR, what do you think?
Yeah, and there's some modules you can pick up on that already do some of this. So what I'll call the housekeeping parts of the repeater functionality itself, a lot of people have already spent a lot of time doing that. You could spend instead time providing a multiplex repeater complex that would then in software break out the stream to each one of these modules, whether it's an FM repeater module or a digital repeater, digital data repeater module. You could have separate ones for those. In fact, you might, the stretch might be not to, just simply reuse the FM repeater module, but to use the FM repeater module in parallel with a data module that you actually built based on the example of the FM repeater module.
Yeah, that is interesting. And, it might be easier to sell, something like that to our faculty than, something as simple as just a simple FM repeater. We go into, data streams and all this stuff, and what you're talking about with, like, the adaptive channel hopping might be interesting from a cognitive radio standpoint.
Right. Now, what you could do is, during periods of idleness, you could put a second receiver, if you will, on the transmit passband and look at it to see if there are typically any interfering signals, so you can adaptively ignore the, or should we say, avoid a certain spectrum when you do decide to key up.
Right, and then the issue becomes, I guess, communicating that with who's ever monitoring the channel.
That's easy. There's always going to be one of those, or one portion of the digital spectrum that you're always going to use to communicate that information. And then the it'll tell the monitoring receivers which set of carrier frequencies to take together, and you can even put a bit loading profile in your control channel that tells everybody, it's 6-to-1 on this one, it's 5-to-1 on that one, it's 8-to-1 on that one, it's 10-to-1 on the other one, whatever. Based on per discrete subcarrier signal to noise.
And that just got me thinking of, we could probably look at ad hoc radio network protocols for more efficient ways of sending that stuff out.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Anyway, that's all I have to say for now. I'm going to send you the URL for the Yahoo group. Let me open up my email here. I got my other computer back a little while ago. So, let me see. Are there anybody else who wants to make comments while I look for this? KID, K2BAR.
First, I want to brag a little bit on that.
John, we got none of that other than first you want to brag a little bit, and then you disappeared. Yeah, John, we didn't get any of that. You literally turned to mush your signal file out of the repeater after you said you wanted to brag. Alrighty. Eric, it's on Yahoo Groups, it's PC Repeater Controller, all in one word. PC Repeater Controller on the Yahoo Groups site. And there's another site, too, called Asterisk. In fact, just Google Asterisk, and I'm sure you'll find more than you ever wanted to know.
All right, thanks. Yeah, it's good. My dad's upstairs, and I couldn't hear him, so. Anyway. All right,
okay, it's time to get you boys some antennas, so you almost fell out that time. But you were okay. We didn't get any of what your father's transmission was, other than the fact that he seemed to be proud of you.
Yeah, he's just doing the stock antenna. I have a quarter-wave width outside, so we'll work on that.
Yeah. No question about it. Do that. I can say this. You can attach with an alligator clip about 20 inches of wire, just clip it on the bottom of your sleeve of your of whatever antenna your connector you have attached to your HD, and that will help give you a counterpoise.
Thanks for the tip. We'll definitely look into it.
Alrighty. So, PC Repeater Controller on Yahoo Groups. I'll also look for Asterisk. although some of the Astro stuff you'll find in there too, but really cool stuff. And they have a long, if you go to the their website, if you join the group, you can see the message history, the archive messages, and search on archive messages for what you, for topics of interest, and you'll find quite a bit.
Yeah, cool. As for my stuff, I know the URL I gave was kind of long, but if you Google SDR Repeater, some of our papers that we wrote for Design 6 come up in the top 10. So that could give you guys some background on what we're doing. 82 MR back then.
That's great. Well, if you need a site to play with this thing, let me know. We always can accommodate you there, too. That's great. All right. By the way, just curiosity, are the other three guys on your team hams?
Just one. I'm going to try and get the others to get their ticket. We'll see how successful I am.
Okay, which one?
Had to speak for a couple of years, I think. Not sure where he is, and not sure what his sign is either.
Got it. Okay. Very good. Anybody else have any comments on this? Okay. Super, super, super. All right. Well, thank you, Eric. And that was an interesting topic, to say the least, a little offbeat. And entirely of interest, at least to some of us. Hi. All righty. Anybody else have any check-ins or comments for the net? Anybody have any comments from EchoLink? Please call K2BAR.
WA2PJF with a question.
Go ahead, Vito.
Yeah, Gordon, I'm just curious. I was giving some thought to purchasing the Mirage power amplifiers for 2 meters. I've been hearing some bad things about them. Do you have any information in reference to their equipment? Go ahead.
Okay, let me ask a couple of basic questions. What is the radio you're using to excite the amplifier? What power level do you want to get out of the amplifier? And what modes are you going to be operating?
Okay, the transceiver is the AC212, or a 45 watts maximum power out, which will drive the Mirage amplifier in question that I'm looking at, which gives me 160 watts out for that kind of power, and I'm only operating FM. Go ahead.
All right. Okay, that was a bad joke. Never mind. I wonder if anyone got the Steely Dan reference. Other than me, it's terrible. Anyway, so sure, I mean, you know, if you want about 4 or 5 dB improvement, you know, probably 6 dB, close to 6 dB, that's probably fine. For FM, yeah, why not? I mean, I wouldn't worry about the preamp. I mean, it might help. My guess is it's probably going to bring you more intermod than anything else. But the model you're looking for basically takes 50 watts of drive and gives you out about, or 40 watts of drive and gives you out about 160?
Yes, the model I'm looking at here is the B2518G. It says here at 50 watts in, it's 160 out. It also makes mention here, 35 watts in also gives you 160 out. That's kind of odd. Anyway, but it does have a preamp built in, which they make mention improves your receiving hearing capabilities. I don't understand that at all. Go ahead.
All right, so it's a gain stage, like, you know, an RF receiver preamp, if you think about it, or RF amplifier coming into your receiver. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know the 212 specifically, but you know, my guess is it's probably a modern radio, and you know, it might be helpful, but in all fairness, it may not be necessary. and it may just raise your noise floor, but you'll find out soon enough. But if you want 6 dB extra of transmitter power, I mean, that's a reasonable objective. The point about you made about the input, well, drive it with as little power as you can. So, for instance, if you have a lower power position other than 50 watts, and you can drive it at 25 or 35 watts, or you have some adjustable low power position or even high power position, set it so that you no longer, you know, set it for the minimum power required to get the rated output from the amplifier. Do you operate a lot of simplex or do you DX repeaters? What's your point in doing this?
Well, I don't operate simplex at all. I don't pursue long distance repeaters, and I don't operate that much 2 meters to begin with. I'm a CW person on low bands primarily. I just thought of something extra, which is probably a waste of $329. And I was advised from others to, if I want to have a more potent signal, to forget about an amplifier and get a larger beam with more elements, 13 elements opposed versus the 5 that I'm using now. Go ahead.
You have very wise friends. Okay, I can give you 2 suggestions that will cost you less than the amplifier and will be less aggravation. Certainly, a 13-element antenna like the Cushcraft, you know, is fine, the 13B2. And that's certainly fine. Do keep in mind, though, that you can't have metal elements rising through the support structure of rising through the element field of the Yagi, whereas on a 5-element you can actually end mount it. So do think about that. So you will need a fiberglass pole to mount the antenna on, and it's at least 2 feet above the end of the mast before you do that. The other thing you can do is what's the Hustler? G7144. If the goal is just 2 meters, and it does seem so from the radio you have, a G7144 is the kick-ass, in a word, antenna for 2 meter FM. It really is. I find it an amazing antenna. I mean, I've had a lot of other ones. They're okay. I mean, and all the usual ones. But the G7 is just outstanding, and it's pretty rugged, and it's omnidirectional. That's what I use, but, you know, that's something to think about as well.
Okay, very good. I have been informed. Very well. In fact, I said 5 elements, 4 elements, I think it's 4 elements. Right now I'm using a vertical, and the beam is mounted slightly below where the vertical starts. And the reason why I had this little beam in position was, at one time, a friend in Massapequa, he and I used to be in constant contact, and we had 2 little beams pointing at each other. But that beam is very rarely used, a vertical use primarily, but I'm thinking about something bigger, and I had mentioned, I heard the 13 elements, and you just mentioned now about the Hustler G7. Okay. All right, and also I was told that amplifiers cause CVI or go in that direction, which is something to think about as well. All right, Gordon, I thank you so much. Back to you.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I will tell you this, the G7144 is very long. It's like 18 feet or something or more. It's got 4 radials. It's very stable. It's just a nicer antenna. I mean, I bought one used and had to really work on, you know, cleaning up. They had a frozen joint between two of the aluminum sections, and marvelous. Once I freed them up, it was no trouble, and I was able to get everything working. And it's just unbelievable how good it is. And my location is by all means modest. And I do DX repeaters occasionally, but I also DX on FM occasionally. And I have just a great time doing it. I usually just use a 40 or 50 watt FM rig and just have a good old time. Right now I don't have any vertically polarized Yagis, although that's going to change in due time. So I have quite an abundance of 2-meter Yagis all of a sudden again, including a 4-bay of 13-element antennas, which I really like, but that's going to be for sideband. Alrighty, anybody else? Okay. Thanks everybody for a really wonderful evening. It was a really nice, diverse set of questions tonight. Interesting topics, et cetera, et cetera. We talked about extended depths on 6 meters. We talked about antennas versus amplifiers on 2 meters. We talked about software-defined radios. Miscellaneous other things. So, all good, all good. Well, thanks everybody for making it a lively net, and wish you well. This is K2BAR thanking the Chestnut Ridge Radio Club for the use of the repeater, and we'll see you next week at 9 o'clock. This is K2BAR W2TTT. Off and clear.
Connected KD2AKP. KD2AKP. Disconnected.
WTTWA2. CAI calling. W2TTT, I mean. Are you out there, Gordon? Gordon, are you out there in Radio Land? Is the Tatenet over already, or is it my imagination?
Okay. try it differently. Good morning, good morning. This is W2TTT on 955. Anybody around on 955?
W2TTT, KT2ORS. Yeah, I'm around, Gordon.
Ah, hello, Robert. Welcome aboard. What, are you taking a break this morning?
Actually,
turn
on
East 20
Avenue, going over to
the 24,
dropping off the
tank
for the
port
employees.
Okay, a little scratchy, but not bad. What town are you in?
Oh, in Ridgewood. I'm about, maybe 1/4 mile from Joyce's house.
Yeah, I'm right on 17, just south of her house. It'd be a mile or so. I'm just, I got a port, then, what it caught. Set up my business. I'm going to be at the farewell meeting with Nancy tonight. Possibly Jeremy. He wants to pitch for his ego project, so he may want 5 or 10 minutes of conference room time with anybody who might be around.
Well, you were breaking up a little bit. I don't know, you're more 117, you're about 6 miles from me, but you were breaking up a little bit on the radio.
It's full quieting. I don't see why I'd be breaking up.
All right, now I hear you better.
I'm thinking it's your signal or your location because you were broken up before.
D-O-1-B-M-W, timeout.